Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 36 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
We're going to be out there pre-planning, doing a lot of public education at our schools and our university.
Moorhead now has paid firefighters.
Kentucky's health commissioner offered an update on the coronavirus.
Governor Beshear unveiled a new website Wednesday.
House Republicans have unveiled their two-year budget proposal.
The bill concerning state board reorganization won committee approval on Thursday.
A solar energy bill passed the West Virginia Senate.
An FBI agent was shot during an early morning raid.
In sports, Rowan County girls basketball team heads to the semifinal game in the 16th region tournament.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Scattered rain and snow showers tonight with a low around 26. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Moorhead Fire Department now has three paid firefighters. WKYT reports since it was founded in 1926, the nearly 50 firefighters that make up the Moorhead Fire Department have been volunteers. Three clocked in for the first time as paid employees on Wednesday. Adam Day, Derek Lewis, and Ronnie Day were selected. All three men are longtime members of the fire department. Fire Chief Jeff Anderson says volunteers are normally forced to drop what they're doing at home to arrive at the fire department and then respond to an emergency. Having firefighters on the clock speeds up response time.
These guys now can get out in 90 seconds, where when we're at home, of course, it's going to take us a little longer to get here.
The firefighters will work each Wednesday through Sunday and work during the day. On their first day, they responded to two minor fires. The department says next year's budget has already made room for the new city employees.
At least five deaths from the coronavirus have been connected to a nursing home facility in Washington. Though there are still no confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Kentucky, LEX 18 spoke to Sayre Christian Village, a nursing and assisted living center located in Lexington. Sayre Christian Village CEO Karen Venus says they're doing everything they can to stay ahead of the virus.
We have to be on heightened alert because our folks are so much more susceptible for illness than a lot of folks out in the mainstream. A lot of them already have other medical diagnoses that they're dealing with, and so just as a flu would be detrimental.
Currently, they are handling the coronavirus much like they would the flu, which means extra cleaning and free flu shots to residents and staff. They say they're also prepared to quarantine patients if need be, whether it's from the flu or from the coronavirus.
Kentucky State Health Commissioner offered an update on efforts to test for and prevent the spread of COVID-19 into the Commonwealth Thursday. Commissioner Steve Stack said as of Thursday morning, just five Kentuckians have been tested for the novel coronavirus with zero positive results, four negatives, and one case still pending. Still, he says it's likely just a matter of time until the state sees its first confirmed instance of the virus. Stack told lawmakers the state has the capacity to test in Frankfort, and he anticipates widespread testing by private entities will come online in the next few weeks. For now, he had this advice for anyone who is experiencing symptoms.
If you are generally well but have a respiratory infection, you probably should stay home and communicate by telephone with your primary care doctor or someone to avoid contaminating others, and because there's probably not a lot more we can do.
Stack says those with more serious problems like pneumonia need to seek medical attention.
Governor Andy Beshear unveiled new information about his executive order to restore voting rights Wednesday morning. WYMT reports the governor signed an order in December restoring the right to 140,000 people. In his announcement Wednesday, Beshear updated that number to 152,000 and said there is a new way for others to find out if they are eligible to vote this year. A new website, civilrightsrestoration.ky.gov/pages/home, will let people check their eligibility and let them register to vote immediately. Kentucky NAACP President Raul Cunningham joined the governor during the announcement. They said people need to be welcomed back into communities and fully participate in democracy. There is currently a bill working its way through the General Assembly that calls for a constitutional amendment to restore more voting rights. The governor said he agrees that an amendment is needed, but does not agree with the provision calling for a waiting period. The deadline to register to vote in the May primary is April 20th.
House Republicans have unveiled their two-year budget proposal for Kentucky, and there are some differences in education when compared with Governor Andy Beshear's proposal. State lawmakers discussed the budget Thursday and were expected to vote on it today. House Republicans are providing slightly more per-pupil funding than Beshear, but less money for textbooks and school buses. Representative Stephen Rudy says state employees and teachers will get a raise.
It does include a 1% increment raise for all state employees, all certified and classified employees at local school districts in each year.
The GOP plan includes more money for school safety, $18.7 million for physical security upgrades versus the $18.2 million Beshear proposed. It also includes money to hire new counselors, $48.75 million for 400 of them. This is a 50% decrease from Beshear's proposal. The House GOP plan preserves $200 million in bonds for renovations to university campus buildings.
Reorganizations of the Kentucky Education Board, like the one Governor Andy Beshear ordered shortly after taking office, would likely be a thing of the past under a bill that won committee approval Thursday. Beshear's reboot of the State Education Board fulfilled a campaign promise the Democrat repeatedly made on the campaign trail, but Senate Bill 10 threatens to undo that action. Under the bill, sponsored by Republican Senate President Robert Stivers, the board would need to reflect the state's political and racial makeup and be evenly split by gender in as much as possible.
People sometimes say it was something directed at Governor Andy Beshear. No, it is not. It is about institutional integrity of the systems and what happens.
But the bill is one of several aimed at reining in the governor's power over state boards, a trend Beshear says runs counter to the tone he's trying to set in Frankfort.
U.S. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky was the lone vote Thursday against the $8 billion Senate bill to fight the spreading coronavirus. WDRB reports that Paul was seeking an equal amount of cuts in unspent foreign aid money to pay for the medical aid. The Senate soundly rejected Paul's plan. Paul insisted that his stance is aimed at not adding to the national debt, no matter the emergency declarations and fears being sparked by COVID-19. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting the Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 6th and 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Vendors from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia, juried art market and professional appraisers, 5 to 9 p.m. on Friday, March 6th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th. The Moorhead Antique and Art Market, March 6th and 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center in downtown Moorhead.
A bill allowing power companies to provide solar energy was passed unanimously in the West Virginia Senate. The bill is seen by environmental groups as an important step toward reducing fossil fuel use in coal country. Jim Coatson with the Sierra Club says it's a compromise that at least allows businesses and consumers to choose solar while calming worries about the struggling coal industry.
There are some concerns about consumers and ratepayer impacts that a more progressive bill might have addressed. Nevertheless, the bill is a step forward because it does give our utilities a chance to start putting some solar-powered electricity into the grid.
The West Virginia Coal Association opposes it, saying it would put more coal miners out of work. The legislation moves on to the House this week.
A former Russell Middle School teacher charged with sexually abusing a student may now face more charges in Ohio and Kentucky. WMKY's Michael Green has the story.
Derek Elliott was arrested and jailed last week on a second-degree sodomy charge and is now facing 16 to 18 more counts once the case goes to a grand jury. The numbers come from an interview with an alleged victim at Hope's Place, a center where juvenile sexual abuse victims are taken for counseling and investigation. A criminal citation released states Elliott had sexual relations with the Russell Middle School student between 2018 and 2020. His accuser is younger than 14. Officials have not stated if more than one victim is involved. Elliot is no longer employed by the district and is banned from stepping onto school property. Prosecutors have up to 60 days to present the case to a grand jury. Elliot's bond is set at $100,000. For WMKY News, I'm Michael Green.
Federal authorities arrested two constables in Pulaski County early Friday, and an FBI special agent was shot during one arrest. One of the constables was also shot. Authorities have not yet released details on the shooting incident, including the name of the agent and the constable, confirming only that both were shot. Robert Norfleet, a defense attorney in Somerset, confirmed that the FBI arrested Constable Mike Wallace Friday morning. The FBI had been investigating Wallace and the other constable for some time and had notified local prosecutors of the investigation, according to the Lexington Herald Leader. Wallace has been active with dozens of drug cases currently pending based on arrests he made. He was considered a potential candidate for sheriff in 2022.
Two men have been sentenced in the 2017 shooting of two Winchester teens. LAX 18 reports 20-year-old Ronnie Ellis and 27-year-old Denzel Hill were both given 20-year sentences after pleading guilty to facilitation to murder. Back in 2017, 16-year-old Kayla Holland and Adriana Castro were caught in the crossfire of gunshots outside of an apartment complex on Washington Street in Winchester. Two other men, 24-year-old Darren Skinner and 25-year-old Matthew Carman, were allegedly involved in the shooting and are still awaiting trial. The woman accused of driving the getaway car, 20-year-old Michaela Buford, is awaiting sentencing. She will be back in court in March. All five suspects involved are currently lodged in the Clark County Detention Center.
There are new charges against two teenagers accused of killing a Lexington man, then driving his body to a wooded area in Washington County. WYMT reports the investigation started in December of 2009 when a tip led Lexington police to an apartment on Augusta Court. Court records state that's where police found evidence of a struggle and signs that someone had suffered a traumatic injury. Police learned that Anthony Assay and Dylan Stewart had recently been evicted from that same apartment. In interviews with investigators, Stewart said that Assay killed 57-year-old Donald Foster when he came to the apartment to sell some fuses. Court records state Assay and Stewart then drove Foster's body to a remote area of Washington County. Originally, Assay was charged with murder and evidence tampering, and Stewart was only charged with evidence tampering. Now, the Herald Leader reports they both been indicted on charges of murder, evidence tampering, and abuse of a corpse. Assay and Stewart are set to be arraigned in Fayette County Circuit Court on March 12th. And now taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, a 50% chance of scattered rain and snow showers, cloudy with a low around 26. Saturday, cloudy through mid-morning, then gradually clearing with a high near 47. Saturday night, clear with a low around 23. Sunday, sunny with a high near 60. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 43. Monday, partly sunny with a high near 61. Monday night, an 80% chance of showers with a low around 51. And Tuesday, 100% chance of showers with a high near 61. It's currently 36 degrees in Lexington, Winchester, and Mount Sterling, 39 degrees in Ashland, 38 degrees in Grayson, 37 degrees in Inez, and 37 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, wood stoves, birds, and Bernie all flock together in the mind of commentator Dr. John Modaff.
A bird was stuck in the wood stove. Somehow it had squoze its way through the chimney pot, but how to get a blinded, aggravated, terrified, angry bird out of a wood stove? Persuasion? Bird brain. Force? Have you ever wrestled a bird? Starvation? The fire would need to be relit before that, and it's a bit harsh anyway. So if one cannot reason, touch, wrangle, or lay siege to, how does one persuade a feathered reptile to fly in a line out of a house? That's right. Light. Darken the surroundings as dark as you can make them, and then open one lighted window or door, preferably with plenty of sunshine. Even a bird brain knows that light is better to fly in and thus into, but be ready to duck the bird, you might say, when you open the door. Okay, you caught me. The bird and the stove are metaphors for Bernie Bros and Bernie. But Bernie isn't the stove. He's the one opening the lighted door or window. First, make the surrounding as dark as possible. Make a darkness no one would want to fly into, one where each direction is equally unsatisfying. Listen to the senator talk. In the lap of greatness, of a place where millions of the world wish to come and to live in liberty, he seems to find only faults. Of course, politicians are always talking about faults as a theme, but this should probably be well balanced by acknowledgement of some success and fundamental liberties which encourage success and waves of immigration. Bernie's room is darkened in this way. Yes, we've got 96% employment, but our country fails because it's not 100%. Besides, of those who do work, many are unhappy and feel underpaid. No matter that more than 90% of the population is not homeless, the nation is a failure because we can count at least 500,000 who are. He doesn't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, he throws out the tub. But then for the bros, the birds we might say, he opens up a window, sunlight streaming in, shredding the darkness with a beam of light that sings, in poetry, the most beautiful word in the world, justice. The bird feels, one might interpolate, that its bondage is unjust, that someone throwing open the door or window and showing them the beam of light, the path to freedom, will make things right. Freedom will be the opposite of injustice then, and, says Bernie, it can be bought. All we need is enough money to implement all of the plans that will even things out for everyone. We can guarantee an income for everyone. We can buy insurance for everyone. Why, even for people who do not wish to work, we can buy all that is needed to simply be. We can do that. And it sounds so right, so humane, so just. And then we are as birds, flying out of the sooty dark on a beam of salvation provided by Airbus Bernie. Hell, you're crazy. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 4:47 and 36 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this rainy Friday afternoon. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
The semifinal round of the girls' 16th region tournament is tonight at Morehead State's Johnson Arena. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. West Carter meets Boyd County in the 6:30 matchup tonight. Both teams come into the matchup with a district championship and one win against the other during regular season play. In the nightcap game of the semifinal round, 61st district winner Rowan County faces the 63rd district champion Russell. The Red Devils are 24-8 on the season, but the Vikings had two wins over them during regular season play. Rowan head coach Matt Stokes says his team watched game film and hit the practice court to prepare for tonight's matchup.
You know, defensively, I don't know that we're going to change a whole lot of what we've done since we played them. You know, we've played them twice this year. You know, defensively, I don't see us changing a whole lot. Offensively, we've got some of our new sets that we haven't ran against them that I think will work. You know, the biggest thing is being able to handle the basketball, not give up silly turnovers when they go into that 1-2-2 trap that they like to run. They're really good at.
Tip-off at Johnson Arena is set for 8 p.m. The winners of tonight's matchup will meet in the regional championship game on Saturday at 7 p.m. Morehead State Baseball opens conference play today. The Eagles are on the field right now hosting the Belmont Bruins at Sunny Allen Field for the first of a 3-game series. MSU comes in with a 4-7 overall record. Head coach Mick Aoki says the team is looking forward to getting into the bulk of its conference schedule.
I mean, I think the big part of it is, you know, we just concentrate on trying to play the best baseball that we're capable of doing it. I think we have some confidence, especially after last year's performance at home. Our guys have some confidence in their ability to play and play well and win games here in Sunny Allen Field. So looking forward to the challenge of it.
The Eagles will host Dayton for one game next Tuesday before welcoming rival Eastern Kentucky for three games next weekend. Morehead State softball is back on the practice field preparing for next week. The Eagles will host the Dayton Flyers for a two-game series on Wednesday, March 11th. Head coach Samantha Jones says the team is hard at work preparing for the matchup.
Yeah, I think this practice today is just getting continuously back into the swing of things and, you know, taking a look at the scout report and see what we're up against. And same thing when we practice on Monday and Tuesday before our home game on Wednesdays.
The Eagles come into the series with a 6-8 overall record. First pitch between MSU and Dayton is set for 1 p.m. next Wednesday. The Morehead State soccer team is set to begin preparations for its 2020 season in the fall by hosting five exhibition matches during the spring at MSU Recreation and Wellness Field. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
The Eagles open their spring campaign on March 7th with a match against Marshall and then return to the pitch on March 28th for a 1 p.m. date against Xavier. Morehead State's April slate begins on April Fool's Day as it welcomes Kentucky to Morehead for a 1 p.m. matchup. The team closes its spring ledger out with matches against non-NCAA Division I opponents as it hosts Division II Charleston on April 9th, followed by Division III Center College on April 15th. The Eagles are coming off an injury-riddled 2019 season in which the team posted a 4-12-2 record and missed the Ohio Valley Conference tournament after finishing 10th with a 2-6-2 mark in conference. Not participating in the spring exhibitions will be 2020 signees Madeline Mazleski, Abby Wasselkamper, Anna Lohr, and sisters Sydney and Krista Paula. The five incoming rookies will join the team for the upcoming fall semester. Each exhibition at MSU Recreation and Wellness Field is free to attend. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
Postseason basketball has arrived for the Kentucky women. The Wildcats play Tennessee tonight in the SEC tournament in Greenville, South Carolina. Kentucky earned the 3 seed after finishing the regular season 21-7 and 10-6 in league play. Here's UK senior guard Sabrina Haynes.
I think we're all super excited just because it is postseason. Postseason basketball is just a different type of basketball, and it's finally March. And honestly, it's my favorite time of the year. And just knowing that we have an incredible opportunity to win the tournament, to be honest, it's super exciting.
The Volunteers are the number 6 seed. Tip-off for tonight's quarterfinal game is approximately at 8:15 p.m. John Calipari was recognized today with his inclusion to the Naismith Men's College Coach of the Year semifinalist list. After all the early season adversity, including a shocking loss to Evansville and back-to-back setbacks in Las Vegas, Calipari finds himself leading a 24-6 Kentucky team that won the Southeastern Conference regular season championship last week, with 3 games to spare, and is in the mix for a top seed in the NCAA tournament. As a result, he is being considered by the Atlanta Tip-Off Club for the best coaching job of the season. He's one of 10 coaches being considered. Calipari is already one of just 2 coaches to win the Naismith Men's Coach of the Year 3 times. Calipari is looking to become the first 4-time winner of the award. He last won it in 2015. 4 finalists will be announced March 18th, and voting will take place March 20th through April 1st, with the fan vote accounting for 5% of the overall final vote. The winner will be awarded at the Naismith Awards brunch during the Final Four in Atlanta. A UK fan caught on video using a racial slur after the UK-Tennessee game Tuesday has been permanently banned from all UK athletic events. The video first posted on Twitter has now gone viral. UK administrators are reacting to the incident, and WKYT heard from the woman in the video for the first time. Ashley Lowes is now apologizing to UK and the entire state for her actions. In the video, Lowes is seen leaving Rupp Arena after the Kentucky men's basketball team lost to Tennessee. A Tennessee fan asked her why she was leaving. At that point, she responds using a racial slur. UK Athletics Director Mitch Barnhart tweeted the university's decision to ban Lowes. And that's all we have for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Baseball hosts Belmont this weekend, and softball will host Dayton on Wednesday, March 11th. Also on March 11th, beach volleyball welcomes North Alabama. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell, capping a tumultuous trading week on Wall Street as coronavirus fears kept investors on edge. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 256.50, although up sharply from earlier lows at 25,864.78. The S&P 500 was down 51.57 at 2972.37, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 162.98 at 8575.62. At one point, the 30-stock index was down almost 900 points, and markets did cut their losses impressively in the last half hour of trading. All three major averages actually eked out a small weekly gain after a roller coaster week that saw the Dow swing 1,000 points or higher twice within 3 days. The Dow Industrials were up 1.7% on the week, while the S&P 500 was up 0.6%, and the NASDAQ managed a small 0.1% gain. However, all three indices are still in correction territory, which means they're down at least 10% from their recent peaks. Today's market declines came as the benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury yield tumbled below 0.7% for the first time ever as investors continue to seek safer assets amid fears that the coronavirus will disrupt global supply chains and tip the economy into a recession. Gold, which is another safe haven, had its best week since 2008. And the market remained under this pressure today, even after an excellent jobs report, as the U.S. economy added 273,000 jobs for the month of February, handily beating expectations of 175,000, and the unemployment rate also fell back to 3.5%, matching its lowest level in more than 50 years. Some positive comments today from the Trump administration on airlines actually helped the airline stocks do better today, actually better than the overall market. UAL was up 2%, and Delta Airlines posted a gain of 1%. Energy was the worst performer today, down 6%, as oil prices plunged almost 10% to multi-year lows after OPEC's allies rejected additional production cuts. In the commodities markets, as mentioned, oil under pressure, finishing at $41.56 a barrel, down almost 10% on the day. Gold was up 0.25% at $1,672.30 an ounce. And Europe stocks were under pressure, with the Stock 600 index down 3.7%. Asia was not a whole lot different, with the Nikkei down 2.7% and the Shanghai Composite down 1.2%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down $1.12 at $36.77, Kroger down $1.40 at $32.07, CSX down 75 cents at $68.21, Marathon Petroleum down $2.11 at $39.10, and PPL Energy was down 17 cents to finish at $31.51. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Taking another quick look at your region's weather, tonight a 50% chance of scattered rain and snow showers, cloudy with a low around 26. Saturday, cloudy through mid-morning, then gradually clearing with a high near 47. Saturday night, clear with a low around 28.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Shamari Mosley, Sarah Fashipe, Chaz Jenkins, Cody Robinson, Sarah Mead, Rachel Turner, Michael Green, and Lori Likens. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Will Clark and Haley Hansen, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Morehead State University's own Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.